Blog Talk Radio.
I've been walking with my face turned to
Today's air date is October the 1st, 2021. Come on into the digital building. Come on into the digital den. Get comfortable. We have a great, great dynamic show for you all tonight with two of my favorites, two of my very favorite brothers in the struggle. All right, we're going to get this show started. Come on, like I said, get comfortable. excuse me. We'll take care of a little housekeeping right quick, and then we're going to get on into the show because we got a lot to talk about today. All right, I want to say, first of all, salute to all our political prisoners, our POWs, and our elder comrades that are still being tortured, murdered, and abused. We had an elder, Chuck Africa, passed a transition on last week. Been in jail over 30, 40 years. They just let him out in 2020. And he's already gone and transitioned home. They need to come home, family. We need to bring them home. We need to bring them home. That's all I'm going to say on this. Salute to all our black media platforms, our sisters and brothers that continue to bring us their truth and power. Salute to Brother Noble, Sister Monique, our family in Stonecrest, Georgia, and our family in Colorado with Unity Community News. We will be coming back with you all with our growing platform and our nation building. Salute to the Republic of New Africa, President Samayat and Vice President Mama Ayo, and our black delegates and citizens. I want to thank y'all for the great, great work you all are doing. Free the land, comrades. Salute to all our family that is providing African-centered education for our children. because we need this. Like I said, I want to thank y'all for coming to the show today. I'm about to open up the mics. First person I want to introduce is The Truth, coming in from Cali. How you doing today, brother? Come on in. Come on into the digital building and tell everybody hello.
Peace and Black Power, Queen. How you doing, sis?
I'm doing great. Look, I had lost my voice. I had lost my voice.
That's all right.
You see, I got it back, so I can have it ready for the show tonight. I'm so happy to hear from y'all. Y'all don't know how
Well, you just lost your voice. You know, we got ancestors that lost their lives in the struggle, so we thankful. Peace and Black Power. Ashe, namaste. Assalamu alaikum to all my brothers and sisters of Muslim faith out there. To my brother, the Brooklyn Bummer, Brother Kareem, love you, brother. And, you know, I'm always honored and privileged to have the voice for our people, to reach our people, each one teach one to reach one. And say hello to all my family in Louisiana, all my family in my former home city of Georgia, all my family and friends in my former home city of Florida, all my family and friends in the struggle. You know, I love my sister Millie Queen. Thank you for having me, Queen. I'm here. I'm here. Definitely. Thank you.
How you doing today, brother? Most definitely. Brother Kareem, he's going to chime in a few minutes. He's trying to find a... quiet spot so he can sit down. So like I said, we're going to go ahead and get started, right? Because it's a lot of stuff that I want to talk to y'all about today, because Brother Malik, it has been a very, very crucial week for me, right? I wanted to talk to you and Brother Kareem about this because I have a son, right? And my son, 23 years old. So we have been, you know, going through some things. You know how I'm a revolutionary soldier, you feel me? And our main thing is healing and, you know, working things out with our family and things, right? And I had to put my son at my house this week, you know what I'm saying? And Brother Malik, it put me in a bad. Oh, I was feeling so bad. But the peace that I got after he left, I needed that peace, you feel me? But, you know, I want to mend that relationship with my son. But my thing is, how can I do that and not compromise who I am? Because there's a lot of things I can't accept what he's doing in his life. And like I told him, I'm not judging you, but you got to respect me if you're going to live in my house. And it kind of messed me up a whole lot this weekend. I want to talk to y'all about this. Because I see how y'all family dynamics are, and y'all are having, you know, my family don't fuck with me because I don't believe in God. You feel?
Well, you know, I understand, Sister Queen. First of all, you have to remember that we're living in different times with different generations coming up. One after another, and we have forgotten it's something else that's taboo. And you know, taboo is my favorite word in the Black community.
Yeah.
Taboo is also the fact that these children, and what's so sad about it, it's not even really the way a lot of them are being raised. Because you know, with the work that I do as a life coach, a mentor, all of that stuff, it's the influences. It's something you always hear me say when I lecture, Millie Queen. I always try to include, it's the people you have around you, because you can be the best child, teenager, young man, grown folks, grandma, grandpa in the world. But depending on who you are and your mental state and the type of people you have around you can totally knock you off the track. So it still comes down to, just like with the virus, practice safe distancing, lifestyle, the people you have around you. Yeah, now me and Brother Karim and yourself, we came up, especially now me and Brother Karim, my family was just no nonsense. I mean, I was just having this conversation with a friend of mine earlier. You know, it's just different. But one thing you cannot do, and it's something that I heard you say, you cannot allow your child to disrespect you under any circumstances, anywhere, period. You heard about the ass whoopings I got in the ice cream aisle at Safeway when I was a kid. I mean, that's just, you just can't have it. You just can't have it. And another thing we must understand, and it's hard because it's painful, just because someone is related to you doesn't mean that you can expect them to act a certain way, even if they were guided and their minds was molded to do the right thing. That's why we have to keep doing these shows. We have to keep getting the word out, because the good are turning into bad just under the word of influence. And influence covers so many components, because you can be influenced in so many different ways. And unfortunately, in closing, with the generation of kids of the day, it doesn't take very much to influence them, and that's what's really dangerous. And so they're taking it from the streets, they're taking it from their job, they're taking it from their social network, and unfortunately they're bringing it to the home, and they're doing what we call Sister Millie Queen, they're trying their parents. That's what they doing.
Yeah, because he put his hands on me. And you feel me? Because he put his hands on me.
You
got to stand your ground. You got to go.
You got to stand your ground, sister. Because the moment they disrespect you, the moment they start treating you like you one of their homegirls instead of their mother, the moment I ever would have allowed either one of my very adult sons and very adult daughters to treat me like I was one of their classmates, that would have been a moment that I had a problem. But see, never had that problem because I practiced what I preach and I led by example. You know, I raised my children in a way that my parents raised me. And when people say, well, Malik, times change, generation change, well, some things are going to change, and change is good. But you don't have to change the structure and the foundation. The structure and the foundation, any house, any apartment building, any multi-million-dollar mansion, any church, any mosque, any cathedral, liquor store, bar, foundation. The Twin Towers collapsed because the jet fuel fire got so hot. It melted the metal beams, which was what, Sister Queen? The foundation of the building. So the foundation of any structure must be solid.
I feel you on that. I feel you on that. All right, we got the Brooklyn. We got the Brooklyn Bomb on the line. Come on in, Brother Karim. Come on in. How you doing today?
Good evening. Well, good afternoon to my comrade, my big brother, Abdul Malik. Good afternoon to you, sir.
How you doing, my young brother, General? Brother, I tell you, if the people knew how hard this young man worked, especially being an outstanding husband, an outstanding father, and a man of the people. Boy, I tell you, man, that's why we have to value each minute that we get you on these podcasts and these radio shows, because I tell people all the time, man, our time is precious. And seeing time, Brother Karim, is a thing that people continue to take for granted. You can replace her diamond ring. You can replace his rims on his car that he loved more than he loves you, but you can never replace time. Thank you for being here, General. We appreciate you, brother. And you know
I'm
we love
here.
You, Matthew.
And Sister Queen Melly.
Peace and
blessings. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Brother,
up,
I'm tired. You know, I've been grilling, man, since last Friday, and I got to grill again this evening for my class reunion tomorrow. That was, I'm alive, brother. I'm just tired, man. I'm hundreds of slabs of ribs and chicken and links and, yeah, brother. But
oh, y'all eating good out here. Y'all eating good.
Yes.
You know they're eating good when they got you on the grill.
Hey, let the people hear that again, Brother Kareem, the Brooklyn Bomber.
They, with you on the grill, they eating real good then.
Oh, yeah. They ate very well, and as always, we sold out, man.
Uh-huh.
I don't care how many hundreds of slabs of ribs I cook, how many whole chickens I cook, how many hundreds of links I cook. It's never enough, man.
Got you. Well, this is
so
what we're going to do.
So what I'm going to do, brother, so we get on with the show, what I'm going to do, I'm going to surprise my classmates and give them some barbecue treat tomorrow for the reunion.
That's what's up.
Brother Kareem, we were taught when you love something, you never look at it as work, brother. So,
that's
you know,
right.
when people see how time-consuming and how tedious it is, I'm working them grills with 400 or 500 pounds of meat at one time, but they like, well, look, Brother Malik, you don't seem like you're tired. And I say, brother, when you're doing what you love, you never
that's
get
right.
tired.
That's
love
right.
you here, brother. Talk to our people, man.
That's
and
it.
Brother
well,
Kareem, General Kareem, I wanted you to chime in because the first question I had asked Brother Malik about, you know, I had some, you know, things going on in my family this week, and it kind of messed with me. And I know that you do a lot of the counseling and different things. Like I had to, I had some issues with my son this week, right? And it kind of messed me up for a minute. Right?
Okay.
And I want you to
Well, what was the issue? Because, again, when we're talking about our children, and we have to realize that they're no longer babies, you know, they're no longer young people, they're no longer little people. Once they start that adolescence into adulthood, they have their own minds. And if their minds are not processing the information correctly because it is being distracted by several things, whether it's a brief lapse of mental imbalance, whether it's substance abuse, whether it's alcoholism, whether it's them trying to figure themselves out, you know, we can no longer continue to look at them as the little people that we raised up, right? We do remember Gator doing that little shuffle dance, right? We remember, you know, what took place when Samuel Jackson was in there pressing Ozzie Davis and Rudy D, and he wasn't in his right mind. You understand what I'm saying? And Ozzie had to do what he had to do and send him home because he knew that that was no longer the son that he brought up. So, I mean, it's not to that extreme. We know that he's fantasy. But these are ways that we have to be mindful when we're talking about our family members who are dealing with certain issues and they're not looking at you in the same light that you have once been looked upon. You understand? And sometimes we may have to have other people intervene and mediate in those situations before they get way out of hand. We are in a very, very spontaneous space. As Brother Malik said, time and space is so important, and it's getting away from us. It's getting away from our people, and our people are becoming more and more desperate. So if you find yourself dealing with somebody who is not in tune with reality or not responding to their situations and their conditions in the right way, we cannot let them be dangerous to us.
Exactly. And I appreciate you.
Brother Kareem, just so you'll know, the word that I use, and you covered it all, is influence. Influence.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, influence is so broad because you can be influenced in so many ways, and you named a handful, and we all know the list is long and endless. So I just want you to know when I spoke on it to the point exactly what you're saying, and that's why we teach that there's many different ways to get to the same destination, because you're saying what I said, and I'm just letting you know I use the word influence. And you notice, Brother Kareem, every time I lecture, especially to the youngsters around the country, I always let them know I'm from West Oakland. I'm a student of Dr. Huey P. Newton and the Panthers right there in my home city up the freeway in West Oakland, California. I had access to some of the same, the drugs, the alcohol, the violence. I seen it all, but you guys notice from knowing me, I always make it clear, I just happened to have the right people around me that kept me away from that stuff. It doesn't mm-hmm. mean that they didn't do it. It doesn't mean that I didn't know that they were doing it. But me knowing those two different things versus me being influenced and engaged in that behavior are three entirely different conversations. So influence has always been a very, very important word to me. And I also taught, as you are an expert at, the generation, these youngsters. I mean, you just went down the list, and I just love to hear you teach. But I just wanted to interrupt to let you know, because I don't know if you were listening or not while you were trying to find your spot. Influence.
Oh,
I'm educated because I saw my mother get up and go to school with some of her adult children, although she had 10 children. She finished high school. She finished college. She went and got a nursing degree. I saw my dad. Influence. And so, well, Malik, if those people are not always around you, then that's where the village and the communities come in at, that are also taboo now, unfortunately, in the black community. Because by no means did Esther, my late great mom, or my dad, Lorenzo Sr., do it by themselves. By no means did my 9 siblings, including the 8 that were older than me, do it by themselves. By no means was it the neighbors next door to the left or next door to the right, to the back or in the front across the street. By no means was it just the high school counselors and the teachers that really care. It was the entire village and the community. And in closing on my interruption, an entire village and a community is not around the corner, brothers and sisters, even those of you guys that are much younger than myself and the panel. Just picture it in your mind. It's 30 blocks away from home in any direction. By the time you get there, it doesn't matter how many lies you have come up with as a child to think you're going to go home and lie to your parents. They already got 15 phone calls in that 30-block radius. The village and the community. Thank you, brother.
Thank you. I totally agree with that. I want to talk about this as well. I've been noticing, you know, what's going on over there in Haiti with our Haitian brothers and sisters and how they letting these Afghans into the country, but they over here riding on horses, you know, putting out people, you know, looking just like slavery, right? I want y'all to speak on what's going on down there because I don't understand it. Go ahead.
I want you to take lead of this show today. So let me just say this real quick. Obviously, you've already said it, Sister Millie Quinn, unless you're sleeping under a rock. It was a scene right out of Roots where they were throwing the net over Kunta Kinte and had the whip in their hand. The main thing I wanted to remind you guys that the only difference between a rein and a whip is a rein is designed to whip a horse, and a whip is designed to whip the back of our ancestors. But at the end of the day, brothers and sisters, common sense, a whip is a whip, just like a bell is a bell. Brother Kareem, the Brooklyn Bomber.
Well, as we know, the history of Haiti and Haiti's struggle, revolutionary struggle, Haiti's militancy, Haiti's pride, Haiti's stand, Haiti's culture, Haiti's spirituality is one that has always been in direct opposition to what this corporation, this land has been about, always. So anything that has to do with the people, with the men, with the women, with the children on that island is always going to be viewed as enemy combatant. Now, since gaining its independence and since being the catalyst for the United States to end up with Louisiana Purchase, these states, the people, the founders of this country owes a great debt to Haiti. So rather than pay that debt, they continue to try to kill the Haitian people off. This is what you have seen. This is what you have witnessed. So now that these people are vulnerable, now that they have left their land, now that they have been moved in a direction to come through Latin America, making this trek. This isn't new. These people were making this trek for months to get down through Mexico to this border. So they were waiting for their arrival. And as you see, they got there by the thousands. They pushed themselves to the forefront. Now, mind you, they weren't the only ones at that border. You still had Mexicans at that border. You still had Ecuadorians at that border. You still had Afghans. You still had Albanians. You still had every other nationality at that border. But they put the focus on our melanated brothers and sisters because they came with a new energy, with a new strength, and stood out in the front. Now, ask yourself, over months and months, sometimes maybe a year or more, how were the Haitians able to get all the way up to the front of the line, in the line of attack? Ask yourself, and how did they get there? Did people move out of their way? Were they placed there? Why were they the focus? Because while they were getting whipped and beat and chased around on the horses, others were able to slip through the border. Others were able to make their way through. And then magically, when everybody became aware of it, when it was a new spectacle and you had so-called activists go down there to show up to find out what was going on, magically 16,000 people disappeared. Magically, they all found places. So when you're watching these news stories, if we don't have the first-hand intel, we really don't know what is going on. We really need not be triggered by all these heinous acts that we are seeing, because it was big news last week. This week, it is nothing but a figment of many people's imagination. So we have to be mindful of what we're watching. But know and behold that any time a melanated person from the land of Haiti is involved, when it comes to the United States government, their only card is to murder or imprison. So that is what you're watching. That is what we've seen. Now we have to move further. Now we have to move on. Because once that's gone, they're going to lay their bullseye on some of us that are much more closer. And we have to deal with that. You understand? The Haitians are people who are forever doomed. They are forever going to be the enemy of the United States of America. So they will have to organize themselves much better in order to not become casualties of that war.
And the only thing I wanted to add is for those of you in the listening audience who have contacted me through my numerous resources, Brother Karim has also answered your question that you have flooded me with, why you will never see 747s of Haitians being flown in like the Afghanis, because the relationship, this is why we teach, know your history, know your world history, because our history is world history. So if you know the history of Haitians and their revolutionary mentality, then your question has been answered again as to why. So this is what I've been getting, Brother Karim and Queen Melly. You know, that's the number one question that I've been swamped with concerning Haitians, starting from realizing they were under the freeway in Texas. And so I have to get on. What I had to do was remind our people this is the importance of being a research specialist and research expert and being someone that loves to read any and everything. Because if you know your history, then you understand the horses with the whips and the reins are people on the freeways, like the scene in the movie Scarface. And again, why you don't see them being put up in emergency housing, in hotels, and being flown in on 747 jets by the thousands, and you won't. Thank you, Brother Karim. Excellent.
Oh, no, yeah, definitely. I always understand. Our people, our audience has to understand. These individuals, these founding fathers, these people who came here to disturb the indigenous people of this land are warmongers. They do not collapse a war based on time. You understand that?
No.
They have suffered great losses globally, saying war. It is a war of white supremacy and oppression. So these wars, so we have been taught to look at them separately. So we have been taught to make sure that, you know, the history books are right and exact. We have to understand that they are not, that this is one long protracted war. This is still the war of the Roman Empire, trying to colonize and take over the entire planet. This is the same war. Understand that. This is the same war. So when Haiti kicks the French out, when Haiti kicks other nations out, when we fought and won specific wars on the continent, they still harbor the wounds from that. So anytime they can lash out against anyone of a melanated skin tone, of a melanated culture, of a universal being, they striking you down with impunity if you do not learn how to strike back. This is the same war. This is the same war. Nothing has changed. These people are here to dominate the globe. They are enemies of nature, which means they are enemies of us. They kill trees. They kill bugs. They kill animals. They kill people. These are warmongers who are enemies. They kill an ecosystem. They kill anything that's in their path. Devils have no God. Understand that. This has been a long, protracted war, and until our people understand that now, more than ever, they must be soldiers. They must be true liberators. They must be able to fight back consistently. If they don't get this understanding within them, they will be wiped out in a matter of the next 2 decades.
Wow.
And this is why, if I can just add this real quick, this is why we continue to also teach and preach that we cannot continue to think we're going to survive off the work of our ancestors and not have to do our own. Black people, we have to get back to understanding. We have to be willing to make sacrifices. At the end of the day, we don't have no friends. At the end of the day, see, you guys think like Donald Trump got up there and made a fool out of himself and the country talking about the virus is just going to disappear. Racism and white supremacy is never going to go away in the existence of this country. White people's privilege and entitlement cards, like your driver's license, never expire, and they always have it on them. We got work to do, brothers and sisters, and this is a war. And again, for those of you that had 2 more questions that Brother Karim have answered, okay, which is, well, why did they never go over to Haiti and invade? There's no money in it for them anymore, okay? All of your questions are being answered right now if it doesn't go over your head. There's no money in it, okay? Does them no good to bring us in by the planes? And it does them no good to go over there by the planes because there's no money in it, because you got to remember, as Brother Karim has eloquently taught, Haitians are real revolutionaries, and the United States know that. Don't get it twisted.
I thank y'all for that clarity. And we're going to move on to our next question. With this horror culture, right, being shoved down our children's throats, right, this Megan Thee Stallion, that Cardi B stuff, I am so tired of this, right? I want to know, how are we going to shift this paradigm, right, where we can get our children back on the right vibrations? Because I'm looking at these people, and I love all black people, right? But I cannot love you and support you when you are detrimental to our people. We have to, how do we get our children to focus away from that culture that they are pushing and shoving down their throat? So whoever wants to start on that, go ahead.
Well, of course, I'm going to speak first because the general always speaks last because he speaks the best. My quick response is we definitely got to get inside the homes. And as a former educator who, again, continues to work with youth all over the country, as you all know, pretty much all day, every day, I know you definitely got inside the home. Well, Malik, what does that mean, Mr. Mama? What does that mean? Because overwhelmingly, most single-parent homes, the parent don't have any idea what's going on in the child's bedroom, even if the door isn't closed, especially in front of those cell phones, especially in front of those computers, especially in front of those tablets. So I don't want Brother Karim to go ahead on and speak and I not throw this in, which is making it clear. You definitely got to get inside the black homes. You got to get inside the black homes because parenting, again, like at the beginning of this lecture or whatever, it's not like it used to be. So we're not monitoring our children. The 1-800 child abuse from white folks made black folks scared of their own kids, and I never understood that because we put ass whooping on the planet. But that's another conversation. Definitely got to get inside the home, because the homes is where those electronic devices are that are helping to control the minds of our youth all over the country.
Good. Thank you, brother. And I'm glad you said that. Parenting is essential. It is very, very important. And when you speak on culture, there has never really been a disconnect with the generation until you had that the disco and the hip-hop era. At one point, you was able to dance with your grandparents, dance with your parents, dance with each other, because the songs were uplifting. The songs was about love. The songs had a different message. They were speaking to us. They were speaking about our struggles. They were speaking about what was really going on in our homes, men and women who was having issues, but men trying to get their love life back in order, women trying to be there. They spoke on all different things, and the vibration was us loving us. The only time when it wasn't that and you started with a selfish nature was with the disco era and the initial hip-hop era, where the youth was trying to get their own voice because it became apparent that the older generation was leaving them in the dust, and they youth was fighting new struggles, right? So you made it out of the heroin epidemic, but now this new crack era came through, and it was a great distance between the parents and the children, as the parents struggled through addiction and the children were struggling trying to find their way to eat and process this new phenomenon that was going on. So the voice had to come out. Hip-hop was the voice, right? And through that voice, the children were alarming everybody as to what was going on in real time. Once it became monetized and it became a commercial rap industry, then the message changed. The people who were delivering the message changed. And there was a great disconnect. So we've been through 3 decades of a disconnect between parent and child. And technology has further increased that gap. As a parent, it is imperative that we get back in tune with our children by making sure that we are in tune and engaged with what they are intaking. And a lot of parents don't do that. Again, they allow the children to dictate the momentum and the movement of the family unit. And the children just got here. You 8, you 9, you 10. You're not supposed to be dictating anything. You're supposed to be doing what I'm instructing you to do in order for you to survive this. Not giving orders. I want a phone. I don't want to do this. I don't want to eat that. It is a disconnect, because the parent is now trying to figure out all these different institutions that are involved in the parenting. You have the governmental institution. You have the cultural institution. Then you have the street institution. All these institutions are involved in the parenting. And the parents feel lost, and they don't keep that resilience up to be the authority. So the only way to get it back is to dig in deep. Remember, we are of a certain age. We birthed this hip-hop generation. So when my daughter is asking for these technological devices, as a parent, you're not ready for it. And she didn't get a phone until she was ready for it. She didn't get a phone until she was 13. So she asked for it at 7. So you have to have strong parenting, because you have to know... Exactly. what she's going to be exposed to, because these devices do over-sexualize. These devices do overstimulate imagination. And once you stimulate thought, the body is going to follow. And then you have a vibration and you have a culture and you have messages that not only activate certain behaviors in the children, but are activating certain behaviors in the elders. So now that you have a daughter who may be in a fourth or fifth grade dancing to Megan Thee Stallion, you have a grandmother who is 60 dancing to Megan Thee Stallion because she has fell victim to the same vibrations and the stimulation because she's not getting it from the natural person who she's supposed to be getting it from, which is the strong black man. Because his vibration has been so beaten down that he's ready to just lay on Skid Row with a cup.
Man, deep, Brother Karam. Deep. Oh, my goodness. Thank y'all for answering
me. Let me just ask this, Sister and Brother Karam. See, I'm sitting here and got a little emotional because, again, Brother Karam's teaching is so brilliant and to the point that you opened up a conversation I was having on the Zoom session, counseling session with some of my, you know, some of the youth boys that I work with. And they were asking me, Sister Millie Queen in general, about why we don't see a lot of music today in soundtracks. And you touched on some of the exact same things that I was teaching them. Because the people with the music that y'all are programmed to listen to and get addicted to are not talking about anything. Look at the movie Across 110th Street.
Exactly.
Okay? Look at Isaac Hayes and all of the soundtracks that he was responsible for. Okay, listen to all of those old school rhythm and blues bands that were in charge of soundtracks for major motion pictures. What was the even the movie Across 110th Street, even the song being mentioned in American Gangster Across the Hunt, even under negative connotation, what Brother Karam is teaching in layman's terms is there was a message in the music. There was a message in the music.
Indeed.
So even when you put on the music Across 110th Street, you watch the movie. There's reverence to the song. When you put on, what is Sam and Dave? Hold on, I'm coming. There's reference. Listen to Sam Cooke. Listen to the music. And so what is the Brother General Karam telling you all in layman's terms? What you already know and you don't like to hear, brothers and sisters, you have no control of the household. I never controlled the TV in my life until I got to my dorm room in college. I never controlled any music in my household until I became a father and a husband. Before then, until I was learning how to DJ in junior high school. My mother and father controlled the music. They controlled what you watched on television. They controlled what you ate. Don't come in and lift up with the pot on the stove because you couldn't even come in the kitchen.
Exactly.
What Brother Karam has just laid it down. Basically, also in layman's terms to our listening audience, you have given your kids too many choices because you have succumbed to the pressure just on the fact that because they have the choices don't mean you have to give it to them. That's what
exactly.
It gets back to. You're
I
no
say,
longer parenting the way you used to. Because, again, I never controlled the television until I was so happy to get it to the door. I was so happy to get in the door more to be in control of a TV, brothers and sisters, than I was to go there to run track or get educated. I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm just saying. keep me in the house. And if you have any arguments, any disagreement, nobody watch TV.
I didn't get loose until I got to college because my mom controlled everything in my household. I totally feel you. I was 18 years old when I got freedom because my mama didn't play. So that's why I say it's a disconnect. It is a disconnect. Y'all are speaking truth today. Do you feel me? So my next question I want to go into.
Sister Millie Queen, let me ask you a question right quick. You and Brother Karim, who do you all hear me talking about out of my 13 grandchildren? The boys more than the girls, right? And it's not because there's 10 boys and 3 girls. It's because there are 10 black boys. And they're in a different world than their grandfather came into many, many years ago. So as Brother Karim has taught right here today, who is to be their example outside of my sons who are the fathers to their children and then my son-in-laws who are the fathers to my daughter's children? Who is to be the elder example? Who's to pull up his bootstrap and volunteer to take the lead and lead by example? I'll do it. Those are my grandsons. Those are my seeds. Starting all the way out to General Millie Queen's boy K Dog. Why you think K Dog so smart? Because he do a lot of video chatting with his grandpa. See, and you know Brother Camille, and you know Sister Millie Queen, and some of y'all in the listening audience know we give ass whoopings over the telephone and across video cameras. I'm just saying.
Indeed.
I'm done. I say. Look, I want to go into our next question. Now, this is what I've been tripping out for, right? And it's still in the industry and different things. Have y'all noticed all these celebrities that have been dying? We had Suzanne Douglas, Michael K. Williams, Melvin Van Peebles, AJ Johnson. Andrea Martin, a songwriter. What is going on? Because they are using this COVID, because they even say Chris Rock is sick right now, right? So they're using this COVID. And I'm going to tell you what I heard COVID stands for today. It says control, oppress, victimize, isolate, and divide. So they're using this COVID, and it looks like they're taking out some of our top people, some of our people, right? What are y'all thoughts on this?
Well, being connected in the industry and being a very dear big brother to Andrea Martin, I'm still torn about that because that young woman grew up in my household with my little sister. Her and my little sister were best friends. And that is still tearing me up because I didn't, it was so unexpected and so quick. And I just saw her a few weeks ago, and every time we see each other, it's the same thing. She give me the big brother hug. And, I'm always glad to see her because she has grown so much. She did battle cancer a few years ago. She and it was in remission. What's disturbing to me is what I am reading from a lot of the celebrities, a lot of the people that she wrote for, and it's been said that she did get the jab not too long ago, and that may have accelerated, cancer coming back. It may have led to her demise, but that's, again, part of what, we call the spooky shit, what we call, the conspiracies of the industry. Now, I wanted to speak on all these deaths in the industry because I've been following them for quite some time, and it's been going on only since the pandemic. I mean, we have lost some prior, but not so many artists,
right,
entertainers of that level.
Yeah.
We're not talking D-list. We're talking A-list, B-list artists, and artists who have been in the industry for quite some time. It is very disturbing, but I ask people to do the research and see who owns the insurance policies on these individuals, if they had insurance policies. See who owns the intellectual property to the creative gifts that they have given the industry. See who owns their publishing. See who owns their licensing. See who owns their residuals if they're in TV and film. Because, again, it is very spooky that these people are dropping off, and usually what's written about it is there's been no cause, or, you know, the cause is still being investigated. That is alarming. And they're covering all different age ranges. Today I just seen another YouTuber, TikToker, 19, that was killed in a police chase. I've been watching it every day. I've been seeing People Magazine, and if people don't understand that People Magazine has went from glamorizing and glorifying the entertainment industry to being an obituary within the past 6 months, you will see death upon death upon death in the pages of People Magazine. From the entertainment industry to what's going on in the street, there's nothing but obituaries and stories of death and demise. So we have to be on notice with all these celebrities. A lot of these celebrities are in debt. A lot of these celebrities put out a lot of good things that people are going to continue to eat off of. And if there's no money coming into Hollywood because the movie theaters are closed, if there's no money because people can't afford streaming and these new devices, then they got to get rid of the people who they owe the money to. So we can look at it from a lot of different ways. We do know a lot of these people have unhealthy lifestyles such as drug addiction, drug abuse, alcoholism, poor health. You understand, poor diet? Never in my 52 years have I seen so many people, middle age and under, dying, especially people who are not impoverished and destitute. These people have checks coming in, so they should have at least that much more of an incentive to live than the rest of us. So it is very alarming, and we need to watch it. But again, everything is war. And if Hollywood is killing off our people, then maybe we need to kill off Hollywood.
Peach.
I agree with that. I say, go ahead, Brother Lee.
And what I wanted to add is that I've been doing a lot of research lately, especially after losing our brother Williams, and then they tie in the drug to it. And it's not so much, of course, you all, if you know me, that I believe it because I do my own research. But what I did find in our research that is very alarming and very disturbing, and I'm really concerned about it, is the fact that black and melanated people use methamphetamine has ballooned just out of, I mean, I've never known our people to be addicted to drugs like methamphetamine and this fentanyl and all of that stuff. And it has gotten my attention to the point, like I said, I've researched it and I've seen the numbers, and it's kind of scary. It is, because when you really sit down and see what fentanyl is, you can pretty much put it in anything and disguise it. See, and I didn't know that until I started doing this research. I mean, you can be a crackhead, and we know you like to smoke crack, and that's what you do. And somebody can sell you actually a piece of crack with fentanyl in it, or you can get it in powder cocaine and heroin. And I've noticed that methamphetamine use for black folks, because It's a fact, you all. There are just some things in life in many categories we as a people just don't do. But stress and depression, in closing, because I know a lot of people will probably ask, well, what did you also research what is causing it? Stress and depression, which we get more than anyone anyway, obviously in closing, this year and a half and going pandemic hasn't helped. But definitely the use of black folks and methamphetamine drugs, definitely an eye-opener if you see it in black and white, like I've done for various resources.
Thank you, brother.
Indeed.
Let me ask y'all this. Now, I have been noticing a very large spike and increase in school shootings. They even are shooting babies at the bus stops. You know what I'm saying? We had two school shootings down here on Wednesday, one at an elementary school and one at a middle school. Have y'all noticed this? And my thing is, it seems like everything, like school shootings, domestic violence incidents, different things like that are on spike now. Have y'all noticed that as well?
I you know, Brother Kareem, I'm gonna pass this off to you because it's so crazy out here in California, especially in my home city of Oakland, to where I don't even want to talk about it. They do, Sister Millie Queen, it doesn't mean that I'm ignoring your question. That's just my sarcastic way of saying the shooting is so out of control out of here. They're doing all kinds. Highway, drive-by, at the school, at an event, to the point, Oakland, less than 12% black folk, okay, due to gentrification. Oakland has over 100 murders, and you know we're just at October the 1st. This time last year, the whole year, they only had 72. And for the first time, less than 700 police officers in the city, based on the size and the amount of people, has always supposed to have at least 1,200. I don't know if they've ever had 1,200 police officers in Oakland, and I've been here 50-something years. But my point is, everything is at an alarming height. That's why I continue to teach and preach every day. Be careful means more than just the regular be careful. Being aware of your surroundings means more than just being aware of your surroundings. It's crazy out there in the streets all over this country, and it's so bad in California, just in Oakland alone. Sister Millie Queen, I don't even know what to say anymore. I just don't. So, Brother Kareem, I know what you deal with there, especially there in Brooklyn. Go ahead on and teach me and the people, because it's crazy out here. And I know you know that as well, because you keep up with all of the coasts. But, yes, Sister Millie Queen, it hasn't gotten any better out here at all. None. Oh, and by the way, 4 years ago today is when the guy did the Vegas shooting from the hotel.
Okay. All right. Thank you for
this. Well, you know I've been working on several fronts with anti-gun violence and any campaign that had to do with anti-gun violence in our communities, whether I did it with nonprofit organizations or I did it on my own, whether I studied how to mediate deadly situations between rival gangs or whether it was between domestic individuals. I've had my eye and ear to gun violence for the last 12 years consistently. So almost any shooting in New York City, almost any shooting on the East Coast or nationally, I'm aware of to some degree because I'm making my business to study and examine some of the factors that have been so in the face of us as a society. And a lot of the factors deal with not only the stress, not only the anger, but the mental trauma that has overtaken our people for the last 40 years, give or take. These conditions that we have been living under have tightened and tightened and tightened, right? And our balloons are full. You can no longer have anything that is either outside of your immediate circle or inside, you know, your being added. You can't add anything else. And these individuals have access to guns. There is almost no police presence nationally. So you have a whole lot of cameras. You have less of that energy, that walk-around energy, and people are taking it upon themselves to do what they want others to do or what we used to rely on others to do, which would be a justice system to handle things fairly and with equity. People are now, they have lost all trust in any of the justice systems. They have lost trust in the system of the church or the mosque. They have lost trust in their own street code. So as a result, you have people who have empowered themselves to be the judge and executioner of anybody that violates their personal beliefs. So we have gone back. We have not moved forward. We have not become human beings and had an advancement in our thinking. We have regressed. We have regressed to the days of which anybody felt that they could do anything to anyone without repercussion. And if the repercussion were to come, they take themselves out of here. Simple as that. This society has lied to us all. The flag is fake. The scales of justice is false. The opportunity to live out to the full potential has not been realized. And people have gone out of their mind. They have lost control. This is what is going on when you see gun violence at this level. People are triggered because they are not in tune with their emotions. They are not in tune with culture. They are not in tune with themselves and how they are responsible for and to each other as human beings. There is limited love. When you have limited love, you have the perfect battleground for chaos and mischief. So you're going to see an uptick in gun violence. You're going to see an uptick in domestic violence and battering in the home. You're going to see an uptick in individuals who feel that they can just shoot at a bus stop, at babies. You're going to get that. You're going to get people who are disgruntled at work, so they come through and mow down anybody in their path. There is no.
And can I add, Brother Karim, because you said that, I'm sure most of you in the listening audience have heard about the shooting in Tennessee. Okay, he was a Walmart contractor. Mm-hmm. He was fired from his job the day of that shooting. I just wanted to throw that in reference to, once again, what Brother Karim is talking about. None of this is by accident.
No accident.
The VTA, shooting out here in California at San Jose, and the disgruntled employee knew that they were having several different union meetings. came in and shot the place up and fired off a couple bombs as well. None of this is by accident. Folks are literally time bombs waiting to explode. And since I'm speaking, let me add what I was going to add anyway, because this is something we always leave out, and Brother Kareem mentioned it. I'm just going to use the component. All you have to do is look at one of the components of violence. Who takes guns in a civilized society everywhere they go? This is something I was teaching on my Zoom class the other night to those same young men. Listen to the setup. Look at the setup. Everywhere you go now, there's a shooting because we're living in the times, brothers and sisters, where everybody feels they have to take a weapon no matter where they go. So as Brother Kareem has laid out, and this is what I meant, by the way, with the listening audience. I wasn't being rude or trying to be funny. I was being sarcastic because it was basically my way of saying any kind of shooting, and Kareem has named some, and the list goes on and on and on, that you can think of has taken place here in California, especially in my home city of Oakland, to the point that I'm shamed and embarrassed by it because that's not the Oakland that I know. Those are not the streets of Oakland that Huey and the Panthers and Bobby Seale and all of them walked and marched and drove around in. I mean, it is absolutely positively out of control. And the problem is, Brother Kareem, the problem is, listening audience, the problem is, Sister General Millie Queen, we have too many taboo categories in the black community, because we know that other nationalities kill other nationalities because that's what happens when you're populated by the people that you're around. But it doesn't mean that you can't talk about it and address it and take measures to help solve the problem, because it's a madhouse. It's a madhouse. And when you do the kind of work that everyone on this panel does, all I want to say, brothers and sisters in the listening audience, what you see in them clips on television, especially Brother Kareem could really tell you about it, does no justice to what's really going on in the streets of America, who is in itself the murder and killing capital of the world, starting with the biggest gang in the country, those in blue. Okay.
I totally agree with y'all on that. Man, we have already did an hour and 18 minutes. This has been a great, great show. I'm going to open up the lines and I'm going to see if any other callers want to ask you all any questions. While I'm doing that, I want you all to get a closing together for me. Like I said, we're going to do this every first Friday of the month. This is our day. Y'all have made me feel good again today just talking with y'all, because like I said, it's been a hard week. And when I talk to my brothers, y'all give me their strength, their power back. You know what I'm saying? And I appreciate that. So y'all give me a closing together. Get your contact information together for me so that they can reach out and support you all's platform. I'm going to start with the first line. I'm going to open up caller. Your area code is 901. The first three numbers of your telephone number is 292. Come on in, Mama, and welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us today. Do you have a comment or a question for the guest? Introduce yourself for me, Mama, too. Introduce yourself first.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Introduce yourself first. Yeah, we can hear you.
I'm just Mama Ayo. I'm Mama Ayo, first Vice President of the Republic of New Africa. I enjoyed your show, brothers. Very, very. I'm totally in agreement with everything you said. Your assessments. It was you know, wonderful, and to know that you know, you just are out there doing your best and trying to educate. One of the things I did want to talk about is you are so totally correct about our child rearing practices, but then we have issues as a community with our dating practices, our marriage practices, our, you know, our, the way we have our children, the way we do and don't nurse our children, all of those dynamics are simply because of the domination of a Caucasoid white supremacist, capitalist, imperialist, neocolonialist system. And your assessments are all, for me, in line with what all people who are trying to liberate our minds, our communities, our nation, are in agreement with. So my question to you, what is our responsibility towards the rest of the world? We know that we're trying to build our communities. And when I say the rest of the world, I'm talking about the rest of the African world. What's our responsibility? Because most of us here consider ourselves to be nationalists, pan-Africanists, following after Malcolm and Marcus Mosiah Garvey, Nkrumah, so on and so forth, Obadeli, all of them, Queen Mother Moore. So when we have incidences such as Haiti, what's going on in the Congo, Nigeria, et cetera, what should our responses be?
Well, I'm definitely appreciative that you have come and you have spoken, given us your wisdom. One of my elders, Mr. David Lee Knight, who now is known as Abu Bakr Hussein, was a founding member of the Republic in New Africa. I met him while I was incarcerated in New York State, and they tried to give him the death penalty out in Arizona. So I could only imagine that he's still in there, and I wish him all strength and guidance and just holding himself down. So I'm so appreciative that that individual still represent that great organization and nation. I will say, when it comes to our struggles globally, that we here on this part of the planet have to have ourselves in a space where we can lend assistance when those incidents trigger us to move. We really don't have enough resources to extend out because we are still moving in a space where we ourselves are battling some of the most asinine issues of today. We are two decades into this new millennial and still are struggling with people not identifying themselves as nationalists and pan-Africanists. So until we, those who are really conscious and woke and aware and are traveling in that banner, make sure that we are the only voice that our people hear, the only voice that moves our people, we can only inform, analyze, watch for the same things, and make sure that we are not victims of what is going on over there. We have a lot of moving we have to do. We have regressed since the days of the Panthers, the Republic of New Africa, the Black Guerrilla Family, right? The entire movement, we have regressed. So now we have to move back. We have to take and make ourselves the dominant voice of our people, or else we can't extend anything other than empathy, you know, and a good, you know, visual here and there on the internet. We have to get ourselves in together because we are in dire, dire conditions right here. We are in foxholes with limited resources right here. Our people are disconnected and living without purpose. Until we get our purpose back and our leaders show faith, we do have to reorganize and let true leadership be known. And leadership means responsible for actions, responsible for gains, responsible for losses, responsible for casualties. Until we are there in that space, only then can we extend ourselves to those who are in need across the sea.
Sister, thank you for blessing us with your presence and your representation. It is indeed my honor And the only thing that I really need to add after listening to yourself before your question, and of course, my dear brother, General Karim, it all speaks of disunity. It all speaks of disunity. A house divided cannot and will not stand. And so whether it's Africa on the continent or here in the States, if we are divided and not united as we are, we're going to continue again. Not much for me to say as what you and the general has just said. We're going to continue to go backwards, because if you really, really, really pay attention to those of us that do this kind of work, we know how the world may look through rosy glasses for a lot of our people. But those like us on this panel, including you, sister, that do the work, we know the situation that we're really in. And we know that the picture is not nearly as clear as a lot of our brothers and sisters throughout the industry think that it is. And it all is because of the word unity. Unity. The biggest problem we have now in this country, which has long been a problem because of religion, because of politics, and on and on and on, is division. And the vax and the non-vax, and the mask and the non-mask, the landlord and the tenant, the mortgage are just more stones of division that has been added over the last year and a half. And again, because of distractions, our people are not paying any attention. Now the colored and the white signs have been taken down off the water fountains. Now, brothers and sisters, the fountains are going to say vax and the unvax. Now, black man and melanated woman, you got to stop walking down the street like the Latino brother and show your card. But you didn't like the idea that it didn't look good, it didn't feel good, it didn't sound good for your Latino brother or sister to have to show their card to see why they're in this country. We are divided and disunited, sister. That's what I can add to this portion of your question.
Thank you, Mama. Thank you all. Okay, I'm going to open up another line. And start with area code 347. Your first three numbers is 398. Do you have a question or comment? Come on in, introduce yourself, and how you doing today?
Black Power, it's Nubian Patel. Hey, Karim, thanks for the music, bro. Thank you. I didn't even know that the Pulse was by Diana Ross, but thank you. That's one thing. Hey, I appreciate everything everybody said, and I'm glad y'all came up with solutions. I think the answer is for us to continue doing what we're doing. You brothers continue doing what y'all doing. I don't get to catch you all the time, but when I do catch you, I always get something powerful, and that gives me an opportunity to go back and give it to the people. That's all I got to say. Much love and respect for y'all. Black Power.
Black Power. Right, Black Power. Thank you, brother. Black Power. All right, our last caller, area code 510. First three numbers, 919. Do you have a comment or you want to add something to the show? Come on in and join us.
Hi, this is Miss Kathy from Richmond, California. Just thought I enjoyed the show.
Thank you for joining us today. You want to comment?
Hi, Kathy. That's my homegirl. How you doing? Thanks for calling.
I'm good. No
I
comment.
Hope you enjoyed the show.
I did. I really did enjoy it.
All right. Thank you for joining us. And you are always welcome back every Friday at 5 p.m. Central. Thank you for joining us today. Like I said, this has been a dynamic, another dynamic show. I want brothers, The Truth and the Brooklyn Bomber to come on with our closings and give us your contact information so we can reach out and support. Thank you all. Like I said, every first Friday of the month, that's our day. Go ahead, The Truth from Callie. Go ahead and walk
through. Okay, well, you can find me on Facebook, El Malik Abdul Muhammad, one page, El Abdul Muhammad, another page, or thanks to my Facebook family who officially named me The Truth about 10 years ago, you can put in hashtag The Truth, D-A, not T-H-E, D-A, T-R-U-T-H, hashtag The Truth, and it will literally take you to one of my pages. On Instagram, it's SirBlur. 4.3, that's my 40 time back in the track days. You can find me on LinkedIn, El Malik Abdul Muhammad, or The Truth. And you can like one of our many pro-black pages, the Black Beret Liberation Movement, Committed Consciousness of California. The list goes on and on. Thank you all for having me. Let me go get this chicken ready. Let me go get these grills popped up. My goal is to bring all of my brothers and sisters together, including the Brooklyn Brummer and his beautiful family, and just cook for y'all on the compound and feed y'all, so y'all can enjoy the food that y'all see me advertising through my many outlets. But I'm going to get out of here. Millie Queen, you know how to reach me. Brother Kareem, you know I love you, brother. You know you got my strength and my power.
That's
teach
why I
the
love
people,
you
brother.
Too, comrade.
Take us out. Peace and great power.
All right. Thank you, Brother Malik. Go ahead, Brooklyn Bomber. Come on, take us out. Take us out.
Listen, y'all can reach me on Facebook, Kareem Bliz, B-L-I-Z Johnson. You can catch me on Instagram at Bliz, B-L-I-Z. Z double underscore ENYBROOKLYN. That's Bliz double underscore ENY Brooklyn. Twitter, Kareem Bliz Johnson as well. Instagram, WhatsApp, everything. My Patreon is getting ready to go up soon. You can catch me on Doggy Diamonds. Outspoken, Doggy Diamonds, No Filter on YouTube, and I have my own YouTube page at Kareem Bliz Johnson. I want people to understand that we are in a war. This is the same war that has been going on since Julius Caesar. It is an Aryan war of white supremacy and dominance to exterminate the melanin code. This is what we're dealing with. We have to understand that we are the universal beings of truth. We've traveled galaxies. You understand we are in alignment with the sun, the moon, the stars, the asteroids. We are in alignment with that. We are in alignment with the zodiac. We know how to speak to the ocean and the ocean beings. We speak in different tongues through our souls and our spirit. This is a war, and we are never safe until we exterminate our enemies. How do we exterminate our enemies? We have to have a love of self, a love of each other, and we have to have our brethren in the ranks. We have to love our black women. Our black women have to be on one side of our hip, and the other side of our hip is our weapon. Our black women walk with us in equity. We have to protect our black women. Our women have to walk with us. We are having interchangeable roles in this war. We do not silence our women. We do not beat on her. We have to get our queens back in alignment and get them to the range. We have to make sure we walk and we move in silence. We are fighting in the shadows, saying that we will love each other. We will win. Don't believe in me. Believe in my belief in you. All things work in divine order. I love my people.
Ashe. Like I said, this has been another dynamic show. I love you all. Thank you all for joining us. Truth and Power Corner. Every Friday, 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Reach out and support the platform so we can keep bringing you this content. You can make your love donations at $ Vanguards Academy. That's $VANGUARDS Academy, ACADEMY. Reach out, support. Thank you all. Thank you all. Much love, peace, and power. Black power always.
Fill up the sky.